Right now, probation officers and supervisors of juveniles can write in all kinds of exclusions for those on probation, and they do. It is a very difficult system, though. Our police by law cannot act as probation officers. Our police by law have to stick to sort of their work. But libraries and those kinds of things, anything to do with schools, the exemptions, again, if our oversight committee sees reasons to change or tweak them, we will. We have the underlying root causes. Again, just I want to end on that. Absolutely. We've got a lot of work to do. And the only other thing I would say as I've dug back into this since May, it's not as easy unfortunately, with some folks in our community and with some families in our community of just getting people together and sort of figuring it out. It's just sometimes not that easy. So other discussion from council?
I was just going to, if we're getting ready to conclude.
I have some questions. I just want to clarify, the curfew regulations are addressed minors.
Only.
Everything else addresses it. Obviously, the access to guns by children addresses children. But the hotspots and the other provisions are everybody from minors to old age to seniors.
That's correct. That's correct.
So that might be the difference between. There aren't only 30 people in Portland involved in gangs. There are a lot more than that.
Oh, yeah.
So that's.
It's only 30 people that are adjudicated on a firearms violation that are juveniles.
Right.
So there are about 700 identified gang-affected people.
So that's why we can't just get everybody in the room and.
Right.
Okay. So what about the loaded firearm in the car, the 30-day mandatory minimum sentence, does that apply to minors?
Yes, it could, certainly, if the minor was charged in juvenile court with this city code violation, it could apply, although there are some exemptions within the juvenile code that may make it that the juvenile court may not be able to give the 30-day sentence as they would with the adults.
Can you get closer to the mic?
Sorry.
Between now and when we vote on it, I'd like some more information about that.
Sure.
And then finally, the ACLU wrote us a letter suggesting that the hotspots issue could be taken care of by probation officers, saying to each of their parolees, you can't be in these particular areas rather than the city setting that standard. Can you talk about why we're not going that approach?
Mainly because in order for a police officer to enforce a probationary term or any kind of a violation of a probation, they must first know about it, and then they have to call the probation officer, get a hold of the probation officer, and then the probation officer, in order for them to enact, in order to allow the police officer to act on it, the probation officer then must issue what's called a detainer, and then they have to get that detainer signed, and then the police officer can act. So it's a much more cumbersome way to enforce that kind of thing, and I think that the cumbersomeness of it is what we're trying to avoid.
Right, and we're talking about 700 people, not 30 people. Correct. For this particular regulation.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. That's a good explanation.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to make a couple of comments about my approach to this particular ordinance, given the position I've taken in the past on exclusion zones as they've come up with respect to prostitution and drug-free zones. And Mayor Adams actually quite eloquently, in my opinion, distinguished between prostitution drug-free zones, which since arriving on the council 8 years ago, I started being the only person that voted against them based on a lot of the testimony here today my belief consistently was it just caused the problem to shift from wherever the person was being excluded from, say, prostituting to another place. people who wanted the services of a prostitute, and a prostitute would just as well move from 82nd down to Sandy Boulevard as they would stay on 82nd. Mayor Adams, as I said just a moment ago, I think very well articulated what distinguishes this particular type of exclusion from prostitution and drug-free zones. And to be clear about that, it is my opinion that these hot spots that have been identified, at least those two, are geographic in nature. That is, I do believe that the Police Bureau and Mayor Adams has made the case that a number of these incidents wouldn't necessarily move to another part of the city if a person who had been convicted of some kind of firearm violation were excluded from that particular geographic area. I think they are on a solid ground there, and I feel comfortable that this doesn't just simply move the problem to another area of the city by excluding an individual, be that person a juvenile or an adult, from an area that has had prior firearm-related convictions. I also want to point out that a number of people have testified and quite earnestly that they believed that this does not solve the problem. Why doesn't the mayor take some other approach to solve the problem? I have been listening closely to this debate since Mayor Adams initiated, and not once has he or Chief Reese represented that they intended for this effort to solve the problem. What they have clearly articulated, and I agree with, is provide more tools to the police in combination with a variety of other enforcement efforts and social service efforts to try to get their arms around this problem. I don't think anybody believes that this effort by itself or even in combination with other efforts will solve the problem. And finally, I just added this just at the end, and I just have to say it. There are people that testified here today, one person who I served with in the legislature and others, that seemed to throw out the 10 to 30 kids that this might target who have previously been convicted of firearms-related crimes. It's such a minimum amount of kids, why don't we just have some kind of a community gathering to deal with it? In my view, if this approach stops one of those kids from being in a position, having a gun, that either is going to be used on another innocent person or, as we have seen tragically, ends up having that young person in some type of a confrontation with a law enforcement official, that event will not turn out well. So if it stops one kid by passing these measures from either using a gun towards a person that is innocent or causes that kid to be in a situation that all of a sudden changes his forever, I'm for passing this. I appreciate how hard it is to address these issues. As Senator Burdick said, she and I partnered in Salem, and I particularly appreciated the testimony of the young man in the back, I didn't get his name, who is a Second Amendment advocate, who correctly, and I thought very eloquently, said that this debate should be more civil and that he represents a more civil tone in the debate. I actually thought, too bad we can't have that occur on the national level on this issue and a number of other issues. It would be a much nicer country if we could. So, Mayor Adams, Chief Reese, thank you for your excellent work on this.
So, unless there's additional discussion, these will be heard again next week or the week after?
I believe December 1st.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I wanted to thank everybody for coming today and for staying and for the very constructive comments that have been coming and will continue to come in. I think I particularly appreciated the brothers reaching out in your testimony and State Representative John Bowman's comments about there being a relatively small number of minors who are involved who would be the subject of this. There could, it's not an either-or thing. We could do some community therapy as well as some of these things. And finally, I wanted to note that the mayor has done a lot of other things, which haven't been discussed today, but his education initiatives looking at folks who are dropping out, kids who are dropping out of school, and what can we do to help them, and providing city dollars, taxpayer dollars in these very tough times to start addressing that problem looking at workforce and looking at contracting and looking at all of the disparities that exist in our community and starting to address them head on. So we didn't go into any of that today. That's a part of the rest of the package of what this council is trying to do, and I need that to be noted that this isn't the only solution. It's only a very, I think, minor part of the solution to the historic inequities, the historic hurts that need to be fixed in our community.
So thank you all very much. Whether you agree or disagree with this package, I really appreciate you being here and telling me your point of view, your concerns, your support, your questions, your criticism. Our work on this continues. Thank you. We're adjourned.
We're adjourned, right?
Yeah.
We're adjourned. We accepting a report?
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll do it all as a package.
Carla, we had a report.
The systems in place. I don't make the call, but all the people who are impacted, the people that are impacted, all know the system.
Okay. So that's and I just.